Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
And welcome to the Monday, September 6th edition of America's Workforce, a day we truly celebrate all workers, union and non-union. And why do we celebrate? Well, that answer is pretty simple. It took a whole lot of years and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears so we as workers could get the respect we deserve on the job. I'm talking about a level playing field, the opportunity to make a decent wage, good benefits, retirement security. I could go on and on and on. And you know, none of that comes very easily. In the late 1800s, a little history here, at the height of the Industrial Revolution in the United States, the average American worked 12-hour days and 7 days a week in order just to eke out a basic living. And despite restrictions in some states, children as young as five toiled in mills, factories, and even mines in the country. People of all ages, especially the very poor and recent immigrants, often faced extremely unsafe working conditions with insufficient access to fresh air, sanitary facilities, and breaks. And then there was the switchover from agriculture to manufacturing as the economic engine. Well, labor unions first appeared in the late 18th century. They grew more prominent. They began to organize strikes and rallies to protest poor working conditions and to compel employers to renegotiate hours as well as pay. Many of these events turned violent and vocal. On September 5th, 1882, 10,000 workers took unpaid time off to march from City Hall to Union Square in New York City, holding the first Labor Day parade ever in U.S. history. So, the idea of a working man's holiday celebrated on the first Monday in September caught on in other industrial centers around the country, and many states passed legislation recognizing it. Congress would not legalize the holiday until 12 years later. That was on June 28th of 1894. Now, there's your history lesson. We have some special guests joining us today. First, we'll start off with Marty Walsh, the 29th United States Secretary of Labor. Yes, the guy in charge of the entire Labor Department. Here's a guy who started out as a laborer in Boston and is now in charge of the Labor Department. Talk about fulfilling an American dream. Now, no one could be prouder of this man than Terry O'Sullivan, General President of the Laborers International Union of North America, longtime presenting sponsor of this show. Now, Terry has a lot to say about Marty Walsh going back to Marty's early days at Local 223. Now, we'll touch on the new leadership in the AFL-CIO and what will be happening with our infrastructure now that we finally have bipartisan support on that issue. And that's an issue that Terry and so many in labor have been working on for a long, long time. Now, I want to tell you, the interview I did with Marty Walsh was set up with the help of Terry's people, and I want to thank them for that, LIUNA. It was also recorded 2 days before the sudden passing of Rich Trumka. And this is what Marty said about Rich. American workers have lost one of their greatest champions in AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka. President Trumka was a role model for me as a labor leader and a partner to me as a public servant, as we work to drive positive change for workers and communities all across America. Most important, Rich was a dear friend, and I will miss him. From the commercial airways, 30,000 feet in the air, to the deepest mine shafts, 10,000 feet below ground, there is no part of our world that was not touched by his grace and commitment to what he believed was right. My colleagues and I will forever be grateful for the ways he pushed us to think bigger and do better, for his wise counsel, and for the more just society he leaves us with today. Marty Walsh on the passing of Rich Trumka on August 5th. Well, it was 1 year ago this weekend, Labor Day 2020 show. I had an opportunity to talk to Rich Trumka. And if there was one thing that Rich did well, he knew how to engage workers into the political environment and always be optimistic about the outcome when you put workers first. Workers first. Remember that. This is what Rich said a year ago.
Joe Biden's Build Back Better plan recognizes that what we're going through right now isn't just a cyclical downturn. That the structural flaws of inequality and unequal bargaining power between management and workers and systemic racism and decades of underinvestment in our infrastructure, the poor conditions of our schools and the lack of support for teachers, our flawed and costly healthcare system have all been exposed as weaknesses that are holding America back and they need to be fixed. And I think Joe Biden understands in a way that Donald Trump never has and still doesn't, that the best and only way to fix our economy is to start by beating the pandemic. And the only way to beat the pandemic is to keep workers safe so that they can continue to produce. Joe understands that. Donald Trump either doesn't understand it or doesn't care because it doesn't fit into his equation for how he wins. It's sad. So I feel more confident right now. Joe knows us, and we know him. He's been to our union halls. He's been to our picket lines. He's been a friend to working people forever. And he knows how to create middle-class jobs, and he knows the importance of unions and the importance of having bargaining power at the table for workers.
Rich Trumka on our 2020 Labor Day show. Rest in peace, Rich. You certainly lit a fire in all of us. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the U.S. Secretary of Labor, Mr. Marty Walsh.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you are exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. Well, let's go to line number one and welcome the man of the hour. I've been chasing this guy for a while, and it is an honor to have him on the show. He is the 29th United States Secretary of Labor, and we are speaking with Marty Walsh, Labor Secretary Marty Walsh joining America's Workforce. Secretary, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's great to be on today with you.
And especially on a Labor Day. And I'll tell you, you've got some working class roots, and I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about your involvement with Labor's International. And without LIUNA, this show would not be possible. And I take it you're good friends with Terry O'Sullivan. Is that the case?
Terry O'Sullivan is my general president. I've been a member of Labor's Local 223 in Boston since June 30th, 1988.
Talk to me about that time, and I want to get in. I mean, we have so much to cover here today, but I was reading your bio, and what were you, 21 years of age, and you decided to join the union. 1988, let's reflect back on that. What got you going in that direction, sir?
Well, what got me going in that direction was my father. My father joined the laborers' union back in 1956. My uncle came off from Ireland and joined it, and I think it was 1958 around there. And they both were laborers, and they got involved in the politics in the union. My uncle Pat rose eventually to become the business manager. So that was always a big part of my life in my house. My uncle and my father would talk often about people that were unemployed and people needing health benefits and work and things like that. And it just piqued my interest. I remember being a kid down the union hall, and the numbers 223 meant an awful lot to me. I knew it meant representing people. I knew it meant something big. And as I got older, I got involved in politics. I got involved in the, when I say older, in my teens, in the labor movement to some degree. Whenever there was a campaign going on, I was in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. I was going to college, and for me, at the time, I just wasn't feeling it. And I stopped going to college. I went down the hall and I joined up, and I went to work in construction. I worked a few years out in the field, and then I went to work for the Labor's Health and Welfare Fund. And the whole thought of unionization and supporting workers and workers' rights was something that just was embedded in me from a very young age.
So you got your hands dirty. You were working right in construction. And how long were you doing that part?
I did that for some summers when I was in high school, and then I did it for a few years when I joined officially in the union. And then after that, I went to work for the Labor's Health and Welfare Fund. And what that was collecting fringe benefit contributions for delinquent payments for members, quite honestly. And so I had a chance to see up close and personal all the different aspects of the union, both on the job and then behind the scenes, and how the benefits work, how the pension works, how all of the different funds work. And, and then I got involved actively and politically in my union. I became the recording secretary. I was that for, I think, 8 or 9 years, and then eventually became the president of the local. And so, all the different aspects of that, of the laborers union I was part of. And I met Terry when he became the general president of the laborers, and certainly a transformative person he is, and really has taken the laborers union into the 21st century, quite honestly.
Oh, great guy. Great guy. Like I said, we wouldn't be able to do the show without his support. And what is it, 500,000 plus members they have working in the country. You mentioned pensions. I want to get into that. And it's good that you had that grounding earlier in your career, because you knew the multi-employer pension plans were in trouble. We'll get into that. But I want to get into the early days of Marty Walsh. And you eventually became what, the head of the building trades in the Boston area?
The gentleman that was representing this neighborhood, his name was Jim Brett. He was a state representative. He decided he wasn't going to run for another term. So I threw my hat in and got involved with politics, ran for state representative. There were six people in the race, and I was fortunate to win. I served 16 years in the House of Representatives from 97 until 2013. But in 2011, I was at a building trades convention, and I was speaking as a state rep. And there was a gentleman there, his name was Jimmy Coyle. He was an iron worker. He ran the building trades in Boston, and he made an announcement he wasn't going to run. And as I was walking out of the hall that day, a couple of people grabbed me, a couple of different trades grabbed me and said, you should think of doing this. You should think of doing this. And I wasn't even a thought. And that afternoon, I went down the hall, the union hall, saw my cousin, and I said to him, what do you think? And he said, make some phone calls. And I decided that I'd make phone calls about the job. If one of the tradesmen wasn't wanting to run for it, I wasn't going to run for it because I was a state rep and they were in the working actively. Nobody really expressed interest in it, and they thought it was a great idea. So in 2011, I took over the building trades. From 2011 to 2013, I was the general agent in the city of Boston, working collectively with all the trades, and it was a great experience. It really, when I think about my pathway to where I am today, working in the construction field on the job, seeing, you know, the dangers of that and how that works. And obviously seeing my father do it every day for his entire life, going to work for the building trades and getting a chance to understand, how, you know, the business works with the developers and the contractors and trying to increase union density for the members here in the city of Boston, the greater Boston area. And then working for the fund office kind of, you know, really shaped who I was and what I was all about. It was just a natural path forward, I guess, if you will. In 2013, I had the chance, the mayor of Boston, who had been a 20-year incumbent, decided he wasn't going to run again. And I threw my hat in the ring for mayor of Boston. There was about, I think, 10 candidates total. And with the help of, quite honestly, the building trades and a lot of organized labor, I was able to win the primary and win the final and go on and become mayor of Boston. So I think about, you know, when you think about my life, what got me to this point, being Secretary of Labor, I was very fortunate to have the opportunities I've had that have kind of, you know, gotten me ready for, in some ways, this job, because everything mm-hmm. that I've dealt with over my career, whether it's been in politics or in labor or labor politics, it's prepared me for being Secretary of Labor.
So here you are working in City Hall and mayor of Boston for a number of years, and you get a call that you might become the next U.S. Labor Secretary. I have to have you relive that moment for me, because that is so exciting. I mean, the President of the United States saying, oh, yeah, maybe Marty Walsh might be a good Labor Secretary. Can you reflect on that, sir?
Yes. So I got a call about a month earlier asking, you know, from vetting, asking if I would be interested in entering the process for vetting. And they wouldn't tell me what it was for, but I pretty much had a good idea what it might be for. And I, you know, was being vetted, as well as other candidates were being vetted for jobs, you know, in general. And then I was in my office. It was a Tuesday, I believe. And I was preparing for, every year I gave my State of the City announcement. And it was a big, big event. And this year it was going to be on TV because of COVID. It wasn't going to be the big hall that I usually had. So I was getting ready for that. I was literally about to walk into the room next to my office in City Hall and practice the speech. And my phone rang. And I actually missed a call. It was from Washington. It was somebody that is close to the president. And that person texted me and saying, you know, call me back ASAP. The president wants to talk to you. So I called. I picked up the phone. I called, and this person, friend of mine, answered, and she handed the phone to the president. And he got the phone, and he said, "You know, Marty, how you doing?" I said, "Mr. President." I told him I was very happy for him. I hadn't seen him one on one. I'd seen him in Zooms, but I haven't had a chance to congratulate him. So I congratulated him, and you know, told him, you know, we're proud of him here in the country, and thank you for running, and thank you for winning. And he said, I have a question to ask you. I said, yes, Mr. President. He said, I'd like you to be my labor secretary. And, you know, it was a little surreal. I kind of, you know, a little, I was thinking to myself, like, I'm talking to the President of the United States of America, and he just asked me to join his cabinet. And I don't think I quite understood at the moment what it meant. And we talked for a few minutes after that. And he said, Marty, I said, yes, Mr. President. He said, you didn't accept. So I called him. I said, yeah, well, of course I accept. And, you know, it was after we hung up, I sat down. I called Laurie right away. And I said, listen, I just got called by President Biden to be his labor secretary. And you know, I told him, I'd say, yeah, I told him I would do it. And, you know, it was shocking. You know, it just the reflection of it. Was really an amazing opportunity, and to be such an honor to be named to and asked by the President of the United States of America to serve in that president's cabinet is just such an honor.
Now, I know there are other names on the list, but he called you. He called you. So, I mean, it was, I guess, I would say maybe half expected. I don't know. But you were ready for that call, though, it sounds like.
Yeah, I was thinking it would come, but there was definitely other names on the list. And, you know, good people, too. I mean, people that are involved in the labor movement. And, you know, I've talked to them all. I've talked to at least the names that I've known that were being considered. And they were great people as well. And you know, I think about, you know, just I think about that, you know, I wasn't thinking about my journey. I was thinking about my father or mother's journey. I was thinking about them coming from Ireland, immigrants from Ireland, and coming to this country and working hard and creating opportunities for myself and my brother. And the fact that I was able to be part of a special organization like the Laborers Union and be part of a special union like Boston's Local 223. And I thought about all that stuff. And, you know, I know that over the years, you know, a lot of people have been critical of unions and you know, always looking at the negative. But I have nothing but positives to say about unions. I mean, I've seen the good work they do. When I was running for mayor, people were saying that, you know, I'm too close to organized labor. I'll be a bad mayor. I'll be a terrible mayor. And I use the phrase, I wear it as like a badge of honor. And when I think about my time as mayor of Boston, you know, I was told by many, you know, but when the papers were saying, you know, I'm not going to be able to be fiscally responsible. I'm going to give the city away. And I think about my time as mayor in 7 years, we had a AAA bond rating 7 consecutive years. First time that's ever happened. We have a pension system that, if stays on schedule, will be fully funded by 2024. One of the only municipal pension systems in the country that's going to be fully funded. I think about $48 billion in new development, 8.6 million square feet in new development, ending chronic homelessness in the city of Boston, housing 2,300 homeless people in 7 years, building record numbers of housing in 7 years. You know, building parks and libraries and making great investments. So I think about all that, and all of that was based on my foundation of my family and my foundation of having a strong labor movement that taught me. And I grew up in, quite honestly, I went back to school and got my degree at Boston College when I was in my 40s. You know, so all of that stuff is because of the labor movement. And, you know, when people criticize the unions, I just think to myself, God, like, you know, the unions help build the middle class. When we saw a decline in the middle class, we saw a decline in union membership. People shouldn't be looking at unions as bad things. They should be looking at unions as good things, as partners, as we move forward here.
And we got a pro-union guy in the White House, too, to add to all that. Good stuff. Marty Walsh, who is the Secretary of Labor, joining us on our live line. I have to take a quick break. You can stay with us for another segment here, because I want to get into the inner workings of the Labor Department. A lot of people listening don't know exactly what you do on a daily basis. Can we get into that?
Absolutely.
Marty Walsh, he'll rejoin us right here on America's Workforce. Again, special Labor Day edition, back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
You're listening to America's Workforce, and this upcoming segment is brought to you by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. Check them out online at oft-aft.org.
Have you mixed your pain meds, your sleep meds, your allergy meds? Call the Poison Helpline. Has your child eaten a tube of toothpaste, a chip of paint, a wild mushroom? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you been bitten by a spider, a snake, an insect? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, the show is available on 5 platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. Let's go back to our live line special Labor Day edition of America's Workforce. Joining us on our live line is Marty Walsh, the Labor Secretary. That's right, the Labor Secretary on Labor Day. Doesn't get much better than that. So, Mr. Walsh, or you prefer to be called Marty? What's the best?
You can call me whatever you want. Marty's fine.
Okay, good. Talk to me about your job as Labor Secretary. I mean, you took the job, what was in spring, in March, and I mean, there was a lot of changes that had to be made under the previous administration. It was not what you call labor friendly. Let's be honest here. I know there was a bit of a shakeup and all that. Do you have all the key players in place? And maybe get into specifics here on what your routine is like. Go ahead.
Well, I think we're still filling the Labor Department. We still have some appointments that we need to make, and some people need to be approved through the United States Senate. But we're moving forward, which is a good thing. I think one of the first big investments that was made in the Department of Labor, even before I got there, was President Biden's American Rescue Plan. It allowed us the opportunity to staff back up. The Department of Labor was really decimated under the previous administration. We were down about 3,000 employees. Areas like OSHA, wage and hour, places that workers really need protections and having people there to protect them, had not been filled and really been severely cut back. So the president passed the American Rescue Plan with Congress, and we've been able to work to staff back up and get people back out on the job sites, and we're still hiring right now as we move forward here. But when I became the Secretary of Labor on March 23rd, after I got sworn in by the Vice President, I really took the first month to work with the team that's there. There's some amazing career staff at Department of Labor that have worked there for 10, 20, 30 years that do amazing work every day. I was learning, I'll be quite honest, I didn't have every department down. When I was being mentioned for the job, I went online and I downloaded, I looked at the website, the Department of Labor website, and I realized that the broad areas that the department covers, from the Women's Bureau to veterans to mine worker safety to pension, protecting pensions, to OSHA, to wage and hour, so many different areas under the Department of Labor that there's jurisdiction in. So I've been really spending a lot of time going through each of these areas, making sure that the different offices and the different departments have the supports they need to be successful. I mean, we are the agency in the country, quite honestly, the cabinet in the country, that protects workers morning, noon, and night, from when they get up in the morning and go to work, making sure that they have good child care, making sure that they're protected to the afternoon when they're at work, to making sure that we're working to secure their rights on the job, making sure that they have worker safety on the job, to when they go to bed at night, to make sure that when they retire, they have a good pension. When you think about that responsibility, a lot of people in the country don't really know much about the Department of Labor, but quite honestly, we have, in some ways, the protection agency for workers. So I want to make sure that every day that I go to work and every day that I get up, I work hard on behalf of the American worker, to make sure that they have the rights that they deserve. And we represent all workers. We don't represent just union workers. We represent all workers. And I think, on Labor Day, it's important to understand that your Department of Labor is working on your behalf.
Mr. Secretary, you mentioned pensions a lot in this interview, and if you don't mind, I want to get into the multi-employer plans. As you know, they were in a lot of trouble. They're still in a lot of trouble. I know things haven't panned out yet, but there was legislation, the American Rescue Plan, designed to help that. And I know there was some pushback on behalf of some senators. Can you talk about those plans right now? Where are we with all that?
Yeah, that fight happened before I became the secretary, but including the American Rescue Plan was some investments in pensions to be able to make sure that the pensions are solvent and moving forward. And quite honestly, what that investment did was protect, you know, millions of workers' pensions as we move forward here. And I think that, you know, that was a good move by Congress and by the Senate to do that. It was very smart by the president to do that as well, because what we want to do is make sure that we preserve people's retirement as they move forward. And we're still working through the process there on the language around the pensions and making sure that the money spent well and the money is invested well to make sure that we're protecting and making sure that we can stretch that money as far as we can to protect as many retirees' pensions moving forward here. In the language also calls for some reform in the system. So it was important, you know, coming as a laborer. I mean, I have time in the pension system in here in Massachusetts, and also when I worked for the Labor's Health and Welfare Funds, you know, people work their whole life with the understanding that when they retire, they're going to have a pension to fall back on. I often tell the old story of my own family. My father had a pension. He worked for over 35 years. He's a 50-year member of the Laborers Local 223 in Boston. And when he retired, he had his pension. And when he passed away, he took the option that my mother gets the pension. So, you know, that allows my mother to be able to, you know, move forward and keep a roof over her head. And obviously, we'd all help her. But the point is, some people don't have family. They have the pension. And some spouses just have the pension. So it's really, really important as we think about moving forward here. And quite honestly, I'm a strong supporter of pensions. As I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, I focused on in the city of Boston pension system to make sure that gets fully funded. There are too many older Americans working today in this country because they didn't have an opportunity to get a pension. So they're going to be working into their 70s and sometimes 80s. And that's unfair in a lot of ways. We should have a system that works for people that when they become retirement age and they have an opportunity, they shouldn't have to work one and two and three jobs to be able to continue to survive. And creating pensions and pensions is that way forward.
You talked about worker safety, and I know the Labor Department oversees OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. And as you know, we're still in the middle of the pandemic, and we've seen a lot of problems during the pandemic with the meat packers, line speed. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Workers working too close together, getting sick. And then in the trades, you know that with falls, accidents, and things of that nature. Where would you put OSHA today? Because when you took over, and I know you still got a lot of work to do, and I know you're moving the needle in the right direction, but where are we right now? Where do you want to go as far as worker safety?
Well, I mean, certainly, I think that OSHA and the team at OSHA has done some amazing work over the last few years here, and quite honestly, over the 50 years OSHA's been around. I think that we need to continue to build up OSHA to we get to a point where we're not just responding to accidents on job sites. I think we need to make sure that we're having a better collaborative relationship with employers around America so that we can make sure workplaces are safe. I think that if, you know, when OSHA goes onto a job site after an accident, it's too late for that person. That family member, the family's, you know, usually, you know, somebody that works or gets seriously injured or loses their life. And no family should lose a loved one when they walk out the door in the morning to go to work on the job site. That just shouldn't happen. And so we're going to continue to work to build up OSHA to make sure they have the resources and supports that they need to make sure they keep the American workers safe. And I just want to touch upon real quickly in this pandemic. You know, during the pandemic, it's been about, you know, 18, 19 months now that we've been living with a pandemic. OSHA inspectors continue to go to work. and essential employees such as grocery store workers and for our first responders and nurses and doctors, they continue to go to work. And I think on Labor Day, we need to make sure that we give them a special shout out. I know it's our second Labor Day in the pandemic, but I don't think we can ever forget the work that they've done, and can't forget the fact that our essential workers, our frontline workers, whether it's a pandemic or a hurricane or a natural disaster, they're constantly there for us. And I think that we have to respect and remember the great work that they have done, they continue to do as we move forward here.
Yes, they are our heroes. There's no doubt about that. One more question here. Meeting with Biden, do you do this on a regular basis to bring him up to speed on what's happening on the Labor Department? And I know you got a good relationship with him. He swore you in as mayor some years back. But how often does that happen?
I see the president quite a bit. We don't. It's really not a formal meeting sometimes. We've had some cabinet meetings. We've had some cabinet discussions, particularly around the big plans that the president's been working on. I see the president, you know, probably once every week or so, once every couple weeks. We're constantly talking about, he really does believe in a strong labor movement. He does believe in unionization. He believes in making sure that we do everything we can to build back better and build a middle class. So it's great to work with and work for a person that believes in what so many people I believe in and so many people believe in. And it really is refreshing to have that in the White House, that he truly does care about the American worker and that he wants to, you know, leave the office stronger for workers in this country. And, you know, his work is really just beginning when you think about it. You know, he's about 7-8 months into the job now. And, you know, his focus has been on creating a strong middle class and equality for all people. And he wants us to focus on, you know, women and people of color to make sure that what's happened in the past doesn't happen in the future, that people are left behind. So it's great to work for a person that believes in the values of supporting working people.
Amen to that. Well, if you get an opportunity, tell him there's a guy in Cleveland, Ohio, by the name of Ed Flash Ferentz that would like to have him on his radio show and podcast, and it's union friendly. Can you do that for me?
I'll let him know, Flash. I will.
Thank you so much, Marty Walsh. We appreciate it, and happy Labor Day to you, your family, and a shout out to Labor's Local 223. Okay, how's that sound?
Thank you, man. And Terry O'Sullivan. Thank you, Terry.
Now that was fun. Marty Walsh, Labor Secretary of the United States of America. What we're going to do right now is take a quick break. When we come back, Terry O'Sullivan, General President for Labor's International. He'll talk about Marty Walsh and much more. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with prostate, breast, or any other cancer after taking Zantac? You may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyAndFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
From the Golden Gate Bridge to the St. Louis Gateway Arch, the Sears Tower, and just about every building, bridge, and structure in between, our cities and towns wouldn't be the same without ironworkers. With over 3,000 contractors employing more than 130,000 highly trained ironworkers and 20,000 apprentices, the Ironworkers Union stands ready and able to shape the future of our skylines. Learn more at ironworkers.org. Ironworkers, the sky's the limit.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange. News, talk, sports, and workforce politics. The fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
Millions open a My Social Security account every year so they can prepare for retirement. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Now, back to America's workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle, real simple, AWF Union Podcast. All right, let's go to line number two. And welcome to the show, Mr. Terry O'Sullivan. Terry is the General President of Labor's International Union of North America, LIUNA.org, the presenting sponsor of America's Workforce. Terry O'Sullivan, happy Labor Day to you, and you got to do the shout-out for the locals in northeastern Ohio.
Absolutely, Flash. Happy Labor Day to you and to all your listeners as well. And I would be remiss if I didn't say hello and happy Labor Day to my strong, proud, and united brothers and sisters of LIUNA Local 310 and 860. They always feel the power, brother.
Feeling the power. That's what it's all about. It's so great to have you on the show. And I'll tell you, we just had Marty Walsh. And Marty Walsh, of course, our labor secretary, started a local 223 in Boston. And I'll tell you, he couldn't talk enough about Mr. Terry O'Sullivan and the impact that you had on his career. And now, look where he is. I mean, you never know. That's the beauty about America. You never know where you're going to end up. I mean, here's a guy, a laborer in Boston, now the labor secretary. So, Terry, let's start right there because I think it's just great. I remember seeing the statement when he was considered as labor secretary, and then, bingo, he becomes labor secretary. So talk to me about Marty Walsh.
Yeah, well, he's once in a lifetime, Flash. I mean, the guy walks the walk, talks the talk. You know, the best thing I can say about Marty, other than he's an incredible individual and incredible leader, is that he's one of us. He's like the rest of your listeners. The guy, his whole career has been about organized labor. He's been fighting for the working class, for the middle class. And that's why I think he'll go down in history as one of the best labor secretaries we've ever had.
Yeah, I think he's the first union guy in that department in like a half a century. So it's amazing.
I think the last one was Peter Brennan, and that was a long time ago. But, Marty's one of a kind. And I'll tell you what, you see, he is all over the place. I talk to him on a regular basis. He's going down into a coal mine. When I talked to him about a week ago, he's like the ever ready bunny, man. He just keeps going.
Yeah.
He loves being out in the field. He likes talking to workers. He doesn't care whether there's 2 or 200. He is somebody special. Marty Walsh is family to me. You know, I knew his uncle Pat that ran local 223, his dad, his mom. We go way back. So couldn't be prouder. Obviously proud that he's a laborer, but he's a building tradesman, and he's a proud trade unionist. And that's what matters.
Terry, let me ask you this. I mean, you knew him when he was, I think he was 18 years old when he started out at 223. Did you ever think that he would become labor secretary? Did you see any quality in him?
Yeah, no, I mean, the first time I met him, Flash, you could tell there was something special about him. One, he wears his heart on his sleeve, doesn't suffer fools, says it the way it is. And the thing about him, you know, I mean, he's obviously a labor guy and a laborer, but he gets the other side of the equation, too. And I saw that in him as a young man. He was beyond his years, you know, at 18 years old, this guy had it all. Mm-hmm. I didn't know he'd be labor secretary, but I think that I always knew the sky was the limit for Marty Walsh.
Yeah. And I've been following his decisions, too. I get emails from him all the time from the U.S. Labor Department, and I see good things happening. I mean, I was just talking a couple of days ago about a fine that he leveled against I believe it was a firm out of Boston, where two workers died on the job. I mean, and you think about this. I mean, worker safety is paramount. I mean, and that's what unions preach all the time. I mean, as soon as you get involved in the apprenticeship programs, it's safety first. So it's good to have somebody. And I'm just thinking, you know, under the Trump administration, I mean, we were set back on safety in so many ways. And Marty right now is just pretty much cleaning up that. But the sky's the limit on what he can do to protect workers, and that's paramount. That really is.
I couldn't agree more. We're so proud of Marty Walsh and all that he's already done and all that he's going to continue to do.
Amen. All right, couple things I want to get into. The passing of Rich Trumka, which surprised you and surprised everybody. Even the President of the United States was taken back by the passing of Rich, which happened a month ago, and here's on a family vacation. The day before, he goes and visits the coal miners striking at Warrior Met. This guy was tireless. I often been saying to myself, I think he worked himself to death. I mean, he had a passion for workers, and I'd like to reflect on that. I'm sure you've had many meetings with Rich over the years. Talk to me about that, Terry.
Yeah, you know, I first met Rich Flash 1993. He'll go down as one of the great leaders in labor history. You know, working with Rich was one of the highlights of my career in the labor movement. Again, a guy, his word was his bond. You never had to guess where he was at when it came to workers' rights, civil rights, human rights, immigrant rights. Rich was there every step of the way. Huge loss for the labor movement. He was one of the best. And I've been around a whole bunch of good labor leaders, but Rich Trumka is one of the best that I was ever around. He's going to be sorely missed, but never forgotten. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And Terry, with his passing, we have Liz Shuler in his place right now. And I know you have worked with Liz over the years. Your thoughts on Liz as president of the AFL-CIO?
Well, one of us historic under sad circumstances. But I've known Liz since she was an assistant working for President Ed Hill with the IBEW. Mm-hmm. Again, go all the way back to 1993 with her as well. And I think she's going to do a phenomenal job. It is history in the making, first woman to head the AFL-CIO. And also Fred Redman as Secretary Treasurer from the United Steelworkers, who is a dedicated and devoted trade unionist. I think they're going to make a dynamic duo. I'm sure those are big shoes to fill. But Liz Shuler and Fred Redman, both of them are more than capable. They've been battle tested, battle ready. And I'm looking for great things coming out of Liz Shuler.
Boy, that's a good way of putting it. Battle tested and battle ready, because there's plenty of battles when it comes to organizing. Hey, speaking of which, you're probably familiar with the fact that it's going to be called the Richard Trumka Pro Act. And let's start right there. How do you feel about that happening moving forward? Because, you know, there's a lot of organizing going on, especially with the pandemic. It really lit a fire under a lot of people. So your thoughts moving forward on that?
Well, first and foremost, I think it is so appropriate to name the PRO Act after Rich Trumka, devoted his whole life to organizing. And I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, we have a few hurdles and a few hills that we got to climb, but I think we're going to get there. And I think with President Biden in office, I know he's going to leave no stone unturned when it comes to organizing rights and the union movement. I mean, when was the last time we ever had a president that said union as many times as President Biden?
Talk to me about the infrastructure deal. We got the bipartisan deal. We got the reconciliation deal going on. I mean, they're still working some of the specifics out. But, well, Terry, first off, you got to be excited. You and I can't tell how many conversations we had talking about infrastructure, and nobody could figure out how to pay for it. Trump was big on it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to rebuild America. It never got done. So things are happening. How do you feel right now, Terry?
I actually feel really good, Flash. I mean, way encouraged. Like you, I got tired of doing infrastructure week, talking about the problems, but without any solutions. And like you said, when Trump was in there, he talked a good game, but he never delivered. And President Biden, he's on this. And I think he's got a real plan. And he is reaching across the aisle. I was encouraged by the Senate vote. So I think Speaker Pelosi has said that, you know, that they'll have a vote by the 27th of this month. She is a person of her word, as you know. She's no joke. So I think we're going to get an infrastructure bill. A long time in coming. And it took real leadership in President Biden and Speaker Pelosi and the majority leader. I think they all delivered, and I think we're going to get this done. I think this is historic. It's history in the making, long overdue, but imagine how many jobs this is going to create. I mean, you're talking probably about 8 to 10 years worth of work. This is not only huge for our economy and our country, but it'll be the biggest jobs bill, at least in my 22 years of being president of LIUNA.
And the bulk of those jobs, correct me if I'm wrong, they're going to be union jobs, right? They seem to be trying to work that into the whole proposal, right?
They will be union jobs. I mean, most of them will be prevailing wage jobs, which means union jobs. So the proud men and women of the building trades are going to be working like never before. And the other crafts, too. I mean, I'm encouraged by what I see in the manufacturing side. I think we've turned a corner as a country. I mean, after 4 years of the Donald, now we've got somebody that looks like us, that acts like us, that fights like us, and understands that good-paying jobs, middle-class jobs, are union jobs.
Terry, wrapping up here, I'm just thinking back. It was a year ago this weekend that I had Rich Trumka on the show, and we played a little clip from that show at the beginning of our Labor Day broadcast today and podcast, and I'm just thinking about how the world has changed, how labor has changed. You got a pro-union president. You got the right guy as labor secretary. We have a woman heading the AFL-CIO. Terry, you put all these things together, and you got to feel good. You got to feel good. I'm just wondering, in a parting message here, going forward, looking at 2022, I mean, it's right around the corner. Good things are happening. How would you like to wrap up today's show with that being said, Terry?
Yeah, you know, on a sad note with Rich's passing, but on a positive note, organized labor is on the move. Just what you said. We have a president. We have a Congress. We just have to keep this mojo going. And, you know, we're going to be up against it next year, but I think we're going to succeed. We got to keep the House. We got to keep the Senate. Finally, we have a leader that gets organized labor. And so I'm going to celebrate this Labor Day like no other, because I think we are moving in the right direction. And I applaud you and your station. You've always been the voice of workers. We need more of you. I'm as about as optimistic as I've ever been, Flash.
I love it. Well, we're going to leave it on that note. Terry O'Sullivan, General President, Labor's International, presenting sponsor of America's Workforce, LIUNA.org. Feel the power, spread the power, and stay in touch, brother. Love having you on the show.
All right. Always great to be with you, Flash. Thank you.
Well, that'll be it for our Labor Day edition of America's Workforce. Once again, I'd like to thank Marty Walsh, our Labor Secretary, for joining us earlier in the show, and Terry O'Sullivan, presenting sponsor of this show we call America's Workforce and the General President of Labor's International Union of North America. Coming up tomorrow, it's the Ohio AFL-CIO and Americans for Transportation Mobility. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.